Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Welcome to another episode of Unmasked.
who's tuning in, and from east to west, and all the people all over the globe in the 33 countries that's tuning in. I appreciate you, and I thank you for tuning in and being faithful and telling your friends. But tonight we have a great show. Our special guest, he is going to tell you how compassion heals. His name is Lee Tomlinson. But before he gets off the air, we will let you know how to get a hold of him and how much his books cost and all that good stuff. But before I bring him on, I need to say hello to my co-host, Chris Michael Ward. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Terry. What's up? It's Friday night, and I'm feeling all right. Boom, boom.
That sounds good, baby. I wish I had that spirit. I wish I had a concert or something to go to, because Friday night, yeah, I'm going to get it, you know. Oh, wow. We have a good week, a busy week. For people who don't know where I'm at, school is going to be starting next week, so it's a lot of running around. You got to do, get yourself, because, you know, ready, clothes and books and all the supplies you need. And this will be the last year, praise God, that I'm going to have to go through this. But anyway, without further ado, I want to say hello to our guest, Lee. How you doing, Lee?
You know what? I am, all things considered, I'm really good. And given my medical history, I'm fabulous.
Hello, I like hearing that. I like hearing that, baby, because we get to be a baby boomer such as myself. We all have a lot of things that we deal with as far as medically. You know, so this topic is going to be something that's going to be able to help a lot of people because it's true. I know that firsthand that it's true. So tell me, when did you decide to write a book about compassion healing? Was it after you got illness or injured or whatever, or was it something that just came to your mind and said, well, let me do this because I'm good at talking to people, you know, and stress to calm down? What made you decide to go this way?
Well, that's a great question. So 4 or 5 years ago, actually 5 or 6 years ago, I went to my ear, nose, and throat doctor to get some allergy medicine. I was proud to say I qualified for the California State Senior Amateur Golf Championships at Pebble Beach, which as a golfer is as close to heaven as you'll ever get. But I couldn't see, I couldn't breathe, I couldn't hear. So anyway, so I went to my ENT to get, you know, whatever she would prescribe so that I could see and breathe clearly enough to play in the championships. I walked out of her office 3 hours later with a diagnosis of stage 3, stage 4 throat cancer.
What?
Now, exactly. That's exactly what I said. What? I never smoked. I was a professional athlete in my youth. Traveled around the world playing professional tennis. Never drank. I just didn't have a taste for it. And as an athlete, it just wasn't, you know, what I wanted to do. I was a marathon runner, mountain climber. I was the healthiest guy you ever knew walking into her office, and all of a sudden, I have very, very serious, maybe incurable throat cancer. So within a couple of days.
I wonder if you got the right choice, because this can't be me, because I've been living a healthy lifestyle.
I would have thought that, except she was doing what's called an endoscopy. Now, you understand, I'm in there for allergies, so you know, an endoscopy where they stick this little device up your nose, it goes down the back of your throat, it's got a camera on it. And they literally, she's sitting right next to me, she's looking in real time at my throat. And I said, God's truth. She said, Lee, and her eyes were tearing up. And I'm thinking, this is not going to be good news. She says, I don't know how to tell you this, but I think you've got advanced throat cancer. Now, I mean, she's been my ENT for 15 years. So I said, you know, that's not funny, doctor. That's not so. I mean, you can joke with me, and you know that, but that's not funny. And she literally, some tears came out of her eyes, and she said, no, Lee, I can see it. The tumor is right here at the base of your tongue, and it's advanced. So she said, I'm going to kindly, compassionately, said, I'm going to cancel my meetings for the, or my appointments for the next couple of hours and call your wife, who was, we had owned the Culver Studios down the street. She was working over at Culver, I mean, at the Sony, making a movie. And call your wife, get her over here right now, and I'll spend 2 hours with you and explain everything there is to know. Now, all I knew was I had cancer, and everybody I knew had cancer was dead.
They died.
So I remember nothing of that conversation with my wife, other than she recommended my doctor, some oncologists who became the people who treated me. So I began within a couple of days. I went in for my first appointment with them. And the two doctors at the Beverly Hills Cancer Center said, Lee, here's what we would suggest after looking at your pictures and charts and blah, 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 blah. They said, first, we'd suggest surgery to remove the tumor. Now, we have to warn you that if we do that, because it's at the base of your tongue, there's a very good chance we may have to remove some or all of your tongue.
Ooh.
What?
Now,
I'm a studio owner, movie studio owner. I am an award-winning television producer. In Hollywood, if you can't talk, you got nothing.
You got a job.
Exactly. So I said, guys, if you do that, I'm already dead. So we ain't doing that. What other options? And they looked at each other and went, we can do and give you the most amount of chemo and radiation that we think is ethically possible. And if that doesn't kill you, maybe we can avoid surgery. So we started 3 months of chemo, followed by 35 straight days of atomic blasts to my tender throat to try and see if we could stop it. At the very end of that, I lost 60 pounds. I couldn't speak. I could croak out a few words, but it was excruciatingly painful. I couldn't swallow. Swallowing saliva was, forget food. Swallowing saliva was like swallowing broken glass. So I was as miserable as a human could be. And my doctor said, if you lose another pound, I lost 60 pounds. If you lose another pound, we're going to have to stop treatment because you're going to die of, you know, malnutrition.
Oh my goodness, man.
You know, I started drinking protein. Anyway, you get the picture. At the very end of that, so I hadn't worked in a year. I was running up huge bills. I was in excruciating pain. Turns out when I'm afraid of dying, I'm kind of a jerk to my wife and others. So my marriage
was... Because you're frustrated, that's why.
And in pain and terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I wake up, and I'm in the hospital again. I passed out and raced, you know, in an ambulance to a hospital, not my normal UCLA health, which is fabulous, but to another one. And I had what's called an unidentifiable septic infection at the site of my heart. Now, when you have chemo and radiation. So now I'm dying of cancer. And I have a potentially fatal septic infection infecting a body that has no immune system because that's how they fight cancer. And my life is a mess. And I don't know if I'll live. And I don't know if I'll speak. If there ever was a time I could have used some simple human kindness from the staff of that hospital, it was then. And I got zero. Literally zero. These were the meanest, most insensitive, unkind, uncaring, unresponsive, rude. You pick any negative adjective you like, and they were all of it. Now, here was what I discovered. Because of all my lifetime of medical interactions, and I've broken over a dozen bones, I've had a thumb pulled off, toes down, I've had a lot of stuff. However, I was at my lowest possible point in this hospital, and what I realized was that I put my life into the hands of people who thought I was a piece of crap, that I didn't even deserve common courtesy, let alone kindness. And what I discovered is that Yeah, when you put your life in somebody's hands, they become gods to you. And if they think you're a piece of crap, they must
be
right.
They never help you as much as they could.
Exactly. So I decided, that's it. I'm done. I give up. I quit. I've had it. And I had enough, because the pain was so severe, I had unlimited amounts of fentanyl patches, which is a painkiller.
They're dangerous.
Have you used it?
Put them on your body for 3 days, and don't overdo it because they're dangerous.
You become addicted. So I had unlimited amounts of those things because the pain was so excruciating. And I realized if I put enough of those on, I can go to sleep, and be out of pain, and leave my family with what's called a key man life insurance policy from the studio, which is a lot of money, way more than I thought it was worth. But it would have left them, you know, a final gift to live like kings and queens. So that's what I decided to do. The only problem was I didn't know how many patches. Put too many on, it looks like suicide. Put too few, and you literally can go unconscious, never wake up, but still be alive, and I'd be a bigger pain in the tush. So I had to ask somebody who would know the answer, how many. Fortunately, the day after I got out of that hospital from hell, a very famous doctor friend of mine came to visit. And I was able to croak out very softly and painfully all of the misery I had experienced at the hands of these horrible people. And he did some remarkable things. Number one, he sat down next to me and just listened. He never interrupted me. He just, no matter how long it took, he looked me straight in the eyes and just listened. Secondly, he reached out and put his hand on my arm to connect with me. And then once I stopped to take a breath, he very slowly and calmly said, Lee, please accept my apology. He said, for the compassion you didn't get while you were being treated here. It is inexcusable.
Oh, wow.
It is shameful. And I am so very heartbroken for you. Please. Now, he had nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
He was apologizing for the care. And he said, you know what? What you experienced, unfortunately, isn't rare. It's happening more and more and more in healthcare where people aren't getting the compassion they need to heal and heal the fastest they possibly can. And he said, that's a tragedy. And he said, he asked my permission. He said, Lee, may I make a suggestion? How polite is that? Sure, Dean. What? He says, you know, if you give up and go through with your plan, you're just a statistic. You're just another patient who gave up and committed suicide. He said, rather than that, he said, how about this? How about you spend the rest of your life? How about you start a movement or something? How about you spend the rest of your life communicating with the world, healthcare professionals and the world, about the amazingly powerful ability of compassion to heal mind, body, and soul, not only of patients, but of providers as well. Why don't you become part of the solution? And in that moment, that five-minute conversation, his confidence in me, his caring about me, his sitting with me and deeply apologizing and respecting me, gave me the will to live, to fight, and to begin what now has become the Compassion Heals Movement. And the book and the documentary we're working. And that's a long answer to a short question, and I apologize. But that's
But I do want
to
jump in here real quick because Chris was sitting over there. He got a question he want to ask. So we're going to go ask you a question.
All right. Well, Lee,
my
question is, you know, people are so burned out with their jobs and family issues and COVID. So what advice do you have to them regarding this Compassion Heals?
Yeah, well, so we are genetically designed in our DNA. We must have connection with others. It is literally what enabled us to survive through the Stone Age when there were tyrannosauruses running around eating these little human beings. And it was never the survival of the strongest. It was always survival of the nicest, who were able to speak to their fellow men and women and say, guys, are you having problems getting eaten by tyrannosauruses? Yeah? Oh, me too. How about this? How about you go to sleep, and I'll stay awake, and I'll look after you, and then when I go to sleep, you'll stay up and look after me. Is that a deal? Yeah, okay, let's do that. That's what allowed us to survive when we were essentially lunch. So we have that in our DNA. Now, when we're denied that connection, which we have, at least in my lifetime, never been denied so consistently and for so long as COVID, it literally makes us nuts, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual. It literally makes us crazy. And so whether it's too much work, too little work, loss of loved ones, fear, whatever, we're in a tough time right now. So I know it sounds overly simple, but the matter of fact is, scientifically proved, if you want someone to be happy, be kind. If you want to be happy, be kind. So the way that we can heal all of that loss of connection, which we are genetically designed to desperately need, is by simple human kindness. It will not only heal your mind, as it did when that doctor sat with me when I was in the hospital, it not only will help heal your mental and emotional pain, it will also help heal your physical pain. So, you know, as they always say, be kind. Everybody's fighting a big battle. We all have pain. Yeah. You want to help somebody else with pain,
something,
be kind.
It boils down to, like you said, it's so simplistic. You know, when someone is going through stuff and they're inside their body, their vitals, they go up because they're tense. You know, they're physically making themselves sick. And a calm voice and understanding will help someone to calm down. So you're absolutely right about that, you know, because we create our own mental and medical physical illnesses when we don't know how to relax. And touch, like your friend did, talking to you calmly and understanding what you're saying, that's a big, big plus, you know, and why it's good to have compassion. And also, I know, too, that when you have compassion, not just for yourself, for someone else, you start to feel better because you see the relief in their eyes. So it's good when you do something for somebody else, it comes back to you.
It does. It literally, and not only that, so scientifically, and there's a wonderful book out there. Yeah, I've got my book out there. That's more of my story. But there's a book by two research scientists, and it's called Compassionomics. And they literally sat down to go through all of the research that had examined the benefits or lack of them from compassion to find out whether or not there were significant, measurable medical benefits by receiving compassion. And they started writing the book believing that it did not. It was nice if you got it or you didn't, but it was no big deal. By the time they finished a study 2.5 years later, reviewing everything that had been done to study compassion for the last century, they had reversed 180 degrees and said, receiving compassion during any medical interaction must be included, not maybe, must be, for the best possible outcome. And then they also said, oh, and by the way, not only can it increase healing in the receiver, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual, but the person giving it gets the exact same benefits. And listen to
that.
When you're kind to someone, they have a very high probability of walking away in such a good mood that they're kind to somebody else. And so it's a gift that keeps on giving. The giver, the receiver, and the people beyond them all benefit from a small, kind act. Sounds simple? Sounds easy? And if it is, good. Make a commitment to do one more kind act a day, and do it forever.
Okay. Well, Lee, we got to take a little small break, and we'll come back in 2 and 2. You stay with us. Don't go nowhere, and we'll be right back.
I promise.
Okay.
Love you.
Unmasked with authors Terry E. Lyle and Chris. And I want to thank again my listeners from north to south and east to west and everyone in those 33 countries around the globe, because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be on the air. And real quick, I want to ask my guests, so I'm sure now that you're here with me that you got a complete bill of health, and they're probably saying, wow, you're a miracle case, and was you able to go back to work in the capacity before you was diagnosed?
Well, so the answer is, knock on wood, I am actually what's called 5 years NED, which is no evidence of disease, which means statistically I'm cured. You know, there's still a ton of side effects and whatever, but compared to being dead or alive, I can tell you, who cares about side effects? I'm so blessed to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's a miracle. I actually gave up my entertainment work and have dedicated myself to doing whatever I can do to reach America's 22 million healthcare workers with the very simple message that their patients need desperately for their caregivers, doctors, nurses, and everybody else. They need them to be compassionate as much as they humanly possibly can, in order for them to heal the best and the quickest. And the number one reason why I experienced all that horror in that hospital from hell, those weren't bad people. They were just burned out. What I discovered as I began to heal and study the subject of compassion in healthcare and in the world is that once you're burned out, whether you're in healthcare or not, one of the qualities of being burned out is you become emotionally numb. Now, think about it. When you're miserable and burned out, it's not surprising. You become angry. You become frustrated. You become impatient. you start making mistakes, your memory goes. So all of those horrible things happen to a person who has become burned out. And when you're emotionally numb, you're unable to be compassionate. So those people in that hospital are so mean. They weren't consciously thinking, let's go be crappy to this guy. They were just so burned out, they were completely unaware how desensitized they were to my condition.
Right.
So my message to all of, what have I done, over 200 keynotes in the last 6 years, all over the world, with one simple message, and it's the title of my book. A, compassion heals. B, from self-care to healthcare. If you want to be healthy and be compassionate with your patients, your colleagues, your family, your friends, you have to take care of yourself first. You have to look deep inside of you, see what pains you, and make sure that you never take it out on anybody else.
And
that's hard. That's hard, obviously, or we wouldn't see so much meanness in the world. Everybody's fighting for themselves. Everybody has pain. The question is whether we know that we have that pain, whether we can see it, and we can consciously choose to release it, or at least not respond to it in ways that are hurtful to others. So I hold no grudge whatsoever against those nurses and doctors in that hospital. I just want them to get healthy enough to be able to enjoy their life, and when they can, to then go in and treat their patients with that kind, caring, compassionate human being they were when they first got into medicine. So that's really what I've been doing. And the book is, an outcrop.
I'm going to ask you before we run out of time.
Please.
Yeah, my next question, Lee, is, you know, I find TED Talks so interesting, and I did my research on you and realized that you've been a TED Talk speaker. So I was just wondering how did you get involved with that?
Well, I was not very long after my treatment. I understand I was trying to gain weight. I was still miserable, all of that sort of stuff. And I was trying to figure out, okay, great. My doctor pal saved my life by suggesting I start a movement. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know what a movement is. Like, how do you start a movement? I had no idea. Early on, I started doing some keynotes to bring my experience to healthcare professionals to just let them know what it's like not to have compassion and for the rest of my life to have it and the impact it had on me. And apparently, a gentleman, one of the hospitals I was speaking at, was a senior executive at Eli Lilly and Company, a pharmaceutical company, from which I had taken a lot of drugs during my treatment. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, wait a minute, this TED Talk stuff, I've always been a fan of TED Talk. I'd love to do a TED Talk, particularly on the subject of compassion. And out of the blue, the universe responds and has this gentleman from Eli Lilly call me and say, Lee, I heard you speak. You're exceptional, extraordinary. I want our staff around the world to hear your message. We're staging a TED event. We'd like you to open it for us with your address. So all of a sudden, here I am. You know, I thought it was impossible to get it. I thought you have to apply and approve. Blah, blah, blah. Nope. Fell right in my lap. The universe said, Lee, you're doing the right thing. Let us help. I think that a TED Talk will probably get you enough publicity and credibility to bring other talks in. And since then, literally, that was one of my first 10. I've done 190 more simply because of that. So, you know, sometimes you got to be lucky and sometimes you got to apply and just stick with it. If you've got a message, you'll find some place to present it. I guarantee the universe will give
it to you. You're right about that. And, you know, I also agree with, you know, that, you know, whatever you put on the atmosphere, you get back. So those positive vibes are very good to do. So tell everybody about your book and the cost of your book.
Well, so the book is called Compassion Heals, From Self-Care to Healthcare. It's available on Amazon.com. But if you go to my website, two things. One, if you go to my website and look for Buy the Book, You actually can get it for a few dollars off its normal price. And I think the normal price is $14 or $13.95 or something like that. But let me throw this out there. We have what we call, look, we can all talk about being kinder and, you know, it's a great idea and we know it works, but doing it is different. So what I do with all my medical conversations, keynotes, is we have what we call the Compassion Heals Challenge. And what it is you go to my website, you sign up, and you agree, commit to doing one kind act a day, every day for 7 days.
What's your website, though?
It's leetomlinson.com, LeeTomlinson. And if you sign up, we're not going to sell it, we're not going to sell you stuff, but if you sign up and if you do 7 days of kind acts at the very end of it, after we've supported you and sent you inspiring emails and all that, we'll give you the book for free.
Sounds
all you
got
to do is 7 days. Of kind acts. Go sign up. It's called the Compassion Heals Challenge. I think it's right on the front page. Sign up. 7 days. One a day. Keep your word. Put a little kindness into the world. And at a minimum, aside from all the goodness that you spread to the people who receive it and how good you feel, you'll also get a free book. So you can buy it on Amazon at full price, or you can simply go to my website, LeeTomlinson.com, LeeTomlinson.com, and take the challenge, and I will happily give it to you as a trophy once you complete the challenge.
Well, I'm going to do the challenge because it's easy, because my nature is to be a server and try to help people. So, hey, a week from now,
me
next
too.
Friday, yeah, I'm going to do it, darling.
Good. Let's get everybody. My goal is to get everybody.
Thank you. All of our guests on the show.
Well, it's an honor to be here. So what else can I answer for you? This is fun.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you being here, and I want to let you know that sometimes later down the road, if there's something else you would like to talk about or a different topic, just call me, and you can be on the show, because I thought Chris was going to tell you that once we have a guest on the show, this is home for them. They can always come back, you know, and I'm not just saying it, but
love
you can
it.
Always come back.
I love it. Thank you so much. At some point, you know, we're doing a documentary on the heart science and business of compassion. And as we get a little further along on that, I will gladly and happily come back. This has been fun. This is an important topic.
Save my number and just give me a call when you get close to that date so I can get you on the schedule, you know, why you're approaching that particular event that you want to discuss. And that'll be darling.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you.
And vice versa. You know, the world needs kindness. It's the only thing that can bring us together. Forgetting color, sex, immigration, whatever. The only thing that can get through all of that and heal us all is simple human kindness.
Yes.
Do it. Amen. Give it. You'll get it back. I promise.
Amen. So
Amen.
On that note, we're going to have to wrap it up because our time has ran out. And
Bummer.
Keep my personal cell phone number and call me, and, you know, we can do this again.
Count on it. This has been fun.
Right,
it's a great way to end my week.
Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Y'all have a safe weekend.
And you do the
weekend.
Same. Bye-bye. Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay compassionate.
Thank you, darling. I will. Bye, Lee.
Kisses.
Bye,
thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.